MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Trading Zain Ismail, Portfolio Manager, Fixed Income Private Markets at Stanlib Asset Management. Zain, appreciate the time. Impact investing, it's a phrase I think many of my listeners have heard. It's also a phrase I think a lot of folks are not quite au fait with exactly what it is. So let's start with the simple question. What is impact investing?
Yeah, Simon, thanks for having me on the show. Impact investing, in a nutshell, is an investment approach that aims to generate a positive social an environmental outcome whilst generating a compelling financial return for investors. So it's developmental in nature, but without having to concede on returns. And you may know that concessionary finance is usually the domain of developmental finance institutions and philanthropic foundations, whilst impact investing is directed at commercial investors. So some of the main themes include climate change, obviously a big consideration, improving the quality of life for individuals. So we're talking about quality housing, access to quality education, access to healthcare, and then another big theme is financial inclusion. So ensuring that a greater component of the population is able to access finance with a view to improving their future prospects.
I get you. My question was then going to be, do and should retirement funds allocate capital to impact investing? And I want to switch it because my sense is they absolutely should, because they get the return, which is important for a retirement fund. But doing societal good, I mean, it makes you feel nice in your heart, but actually doing good for society is good for the broader society, economy, and hence the retirement funds.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, so I do think that they do invest in impact investments. Do I think that they've done enough investments into it? No. So I think there's still significant scope. And, you know, I'll give you a sense of the opportunity set a little later on. But I mean, two reasons that stand out for me for retirement funds to consider investments into impact investments, right? So one is they typically quite concentrated to traditional listed equities and bond markets for obvious reasons, right? Yeah. Now, issuers in this space have made significant strides in terms of ESG. But that does not necessarily translate into tangible societal uplift, certainly not in the short term, okay? And in addition to this, listed markets, as we know, can be quite volatile. And so over time, I think it's fair to say that equities and bond markets have also become more correlated. Hence, globally, you would have seen a shift towards an increase in allocation towards alternative investments. And South Africa is lagging behind international norms on this front. Now, impact investing is a form of an alternative asset, whether it's via private equity or private debt. The behavior of the underlying investments differs from the traditional asset classes we've mentioned. And so you've got an opportunity for a low beta asset class in the first instance. Then you've got a potential to generate alpha, so outsized returns. And critically, to your point, you give life to tangible impact. That's the first reason. It's just a good diversifying asset class that gives you this tangible benefit for your communities, okay? Secondly, and coincidentally, majority of retirement fund beneficiaries in SA happen to represent that cohort of the population that stands to benefit from the type of assets that we target through impact investing. A good example, one of the biggest focus areas for us is access to quality, affordable housing, right? Whether it's via ownership or rental, the vast majority of the target market are nurses, teachers, municipal workers, members of the security and policing clusters. So retirement funds have an opportunity to influence and benefit from investments that are directly linked to their members. And it's our view that when an investor aligns their portfolios with their values and strategic priorities, it fosters a sense of purpose alongside profitability.
I get that absolutely. And I like that. It is that sort of in sync with each other. To put it in perspective, I mean, how big is the opportunity set locally in South Africa?
Yeah, it's a good question, but also not an easy one to answer, to be honest, because impact investing straddles multiple sectors and credible data is, you know, notoriously difficult to come by, especially in a South African context. But let's use a few kind of examples based on some basic research, and I'll reference live transactions to illustrate the scale. Okay. So we'll just reflect on two. Access to energy, because that's a big talking point. SA produces 42 gigawatts of power at present, somewhere in that region. SA is a high energy consumptive country. And given our population growth, and then given the investments required to facilitate economic growth, The projection suggests that we're going to have to increase capacity by 50% over the next decade. A large percentage of that, I think it's in the high 80s, of energy is produced using coal, which isn't sustainable if we want to meet our various climate change objectives.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? So hence the move into renewable energy over the last decade and a half. And in terms of South Africa's integrated resources plan, government's looking to invest into 9 gigawatts of solar power and as much as 18 gigawatts of wind power over the next 5 years. I mean, those are substantial amounts. And to give a sense of the actual rand value at play, so take a life transaction we're looking at present. We're currently exploring an investment into a solar plant that will produce in the region of about 240 megawatts of power. Mm-hmm. Now, this is considered a large renewable energy project, okay? The total project costs are estimated to be 4.5 billion rand.
Wow.
But in order to achieve the 9 gigawatts of power generation I mentioned earlier, you've got to initiate like almost 40 such projects, or put differently, 170 billion rand of investment into solar projects alone over the next 5 years.
I mean, those are staggeringly large numbers. I hadn't actually thought about breaking it down that way. And there's other areas, there's health, there's a ton of others which are going to be giant as well. And then where does the asset manager fit in this? Because to your earlier point that, for example, the retirement funds, they typically focused on, you know, unlisted space as well. Where's the asset manager in driving this impact?
Yeah, so like ourselves, you do get private markets asset managers out there, mm-hmm. or even traditional asset managers that have a focus on alternatives. And your private markets asset manager plays the role of mobilizing vast amounts of money needed to build infrastructure mm-hmm. faster than any individual government or company or DFI or bank can provide. And the truth is, the scale of the investments required is such that we need various public and private sector institutions to get involved. The other aspect to consider is that investments carry risks, which is why it's essential to use an investment manager that performs thorough due diligence. They need to regularly assess and report on performance of the underlying investments. They've got to have clear legal agreements in place to manage underperformance or at worst defaults. Mm-hmm. And because private markets investments are unlisted and thus not readily observable, the manager needs to make an initial and ongoing assessment of recoverable values throughout the life of the investment.
Absolutely, because it does come back to, as you say, it is that unlisted space. We'll leave it there. That's Zain Ismail, Portfolio Manager, Fixed Income Private Markets at Stanlib Asset Management. Zain, appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.